From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. President Obama says a preliminary agreement reached today with Russian President Dmitry Medvedev is an important step toward increasing nuclear security.
We have signed a joint understanding for a follow-on treaty to the START agreement that will reduce our nuclear warheads and delivery systems by up to a third from our current treaty limitations. This legally binding treaty will be completed this year.
Mr. Obama met with the Russian president in Moscow today. Their talks continue Tuesday. 7 U.S. troops were killed in roadside bombings and firefights with militants in Afghanistan. It was the deadliest day for U.S. forces there in nearly a year. Insurgent attacks have spiked as U.S. Marines carry out a major offensive against Taliban in southern Helmand province. The defense secretary during the height of the U.S. war in Vietnam, Robert McNamara, died today. He was 93. NPR's Elizabeth Shogren reports.
McNamara was secretary of defense under Presidents Kennedy and Johnson. He played a key role in handling the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962 and was a prime architect of the Vietnam War. The U.S. effort to defeat the North Vietnamese communist regime cost the lives of more than 58,000 Americans and prompted broad public protests. Many people blamed McNamara for the United States' painful failure. Decades later, he conceded that his war strategy in Southeast Asia was, quote, wrong, terribly wrong. Before serving as defense secretary, McNamara was the president of Ford Motor Company. After he resigned from government service, he took over the helm of the World Bank and steered that organization to focus more on fighting poverty. Elizabeth Shogren, NPR News, Washington.
Paramilitary troops are patrolling the capital of China's westernmost province in an effort to prevent more riots. Demonstrations yesterday exploded into violence, which has left at least 156 people dead and injured more than 800. NPR's Anthony Kuhn has more from Urumqi, China.
Riot police and armored vehicles gathered near Urumqi's Grand International Bazaar in a neighborhood dominated by the Uyghur ethnic group. Uyghurs stood in the streets and watched warily as police swooped in to make occasional arrests. Meanwhile, top provincial officials held a special meeting to address the violence. The officials emphasized on state television that the riots were the work of extremists and separatists instigated by Uyghur exiles overseas and that the government's ethnic and religious policies had nothing to do with it. Locals expect the current security measures here, including the suspension of all internet service, to continue for at least two more days. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Urumqi, China.
On Wall Street today, the Dow closed up 44 points at 8,324. The Nasdaq was down 9 points. This is NPR News. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is scheduled to meet with ousted Honduran President Manuel Zelaya tomorrow in Washington. The U.S. has condemned the coup that overthrew Zelaya more than a week ago and the violence used against his supporters. Zelaya tried to return to Honduras yesterday, but coup authorities prevented his plane from landing. He says he'll try to return again. The state of Tennessee is closing its public caves because of a fungus that's killing bats. White nose syndrome has already killed at least 500,000 bats in New England and the Mid-Atlantic. From member station WPLN in Nashville, Blake Farmer reports.
White nose was discovered in upstate New York 3 years ago and has since swept south. Endangered Species Coordinator Richard Kirk of the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency says the one-year cave closure should slow the spread of the fungus, which has killed up to 95% of infected bat populations.
White nose was something that we kept up with, but it was in the Northeast, and so it really wasn't on the front burner here until we got this major jump.
Kirk says Tennessee may be more susceptible to outbreaks because, unlike many bats up north, those living in the South dwell in caves year-round. U.S. Fish and Wildlife suggests all states bordering Virginia consider cave closure. Biologists believe cavers may be partly to blame for spreading the fungus by not disinfecting their gear before entering a new cave. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.
The government has finalized rules governing federally funded research on human embryonic stem cells. The National Institutes of Health today said federal money may only be used to work with human embryos from fertility clinics that would otherwise be discarded, rather than from those created for research purposes. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.